Welcome back to MovieTrailerReviews.net. I'm your host, Phenom Black. Chris is not joining us, but Joy is in his place, and Ro, as usual, she is consistently always here now. Greatness. So, we're actually going to talk about this film that I'm sure a lot of people are having a very hard time finding if you're looking for in theaters, because I think it was in theaters like 2 days in most places, and now the only place you'll be able to find it is in like major market indie houses. It kind of sucks, because it's a film that I think if you're going to see it, should absolutely be seen in a theater. That is the way it was shot. That is what it was shot for. And watching it at home just is not going to have the same effect as seeing it on a big screen, unless you got a big screen in your house. The film we're talking about is The Last Black Man in San Francisco. So I want to ask Joy and Ro, did y'all do a regular MTR review for this?
Shanna snuck a review up online and did it.
Okay, so Shanna, that's right, Shanna did a review for this. All right, but both of y'all saw this and you kept asking Chris and I to go see it because you wanted our opinions on this film. And Ash came to me and she said, have you heard of that San Francisco movie? And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, that San Francisco movie, it's called San Francisco. And I was like, no, it's not. It's probably called Last Black Man in San Francisco. And she goes, oh yeah, that's what it is. Want to go see it? And I asked her, where the hell did you hear about that from? And she said, I don't know, I just saw it somewhere. It's playing at our indie theater in Silver Spring. Want to go see it? And I was like, yeah, actually I do, because I want to see what the big deal is, why Ro and Joy wanted our opinion so bad on this movie. Because I haven't really given this film a lot of attention. I was kind of turned off by the name of the film. And then I was also, y'all didn't help with the way y'all kept asking, saying that we should go and check it out to get our opinion. So I was kind of like, I'll just, when they send it to me during Oscar season, if it's worth it, then I'll watch a screening. But I'm not going to like step outside of my box to go see it. Then I went and I got a chance to see it. Got a chance to go check out a new theater I've never been to. So that might be the new spot for some of these classics. And so before I tell y'all what I thought, why did you want us to see this so bad?
Ro, you lead discussion on that.
No, I'm on go.
Pretty much. I think this film in particular, from my point of view, is a little bit nuanced in terms of the story they're trying to tell and the relationships that they are trying to build via kind of like blackmail intimacy in some of the story beats. And so that's why I was interested in hearing you guys' point of view on it. That's pretty much it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was on the same page. I felt like this movie's for, like, whether you're male or female, black, white, purple, green, Asian, Latinx, whatever, mileage was going to vary depending on which of the themes jumped out at you. But I really want to know what black men thought about this movie, about which relationships they chose to highlight, how they chose to portray certain people, where they put this man and his friend in this movie, because the only people whose feedback I had heard were white people and white males.
Okay.
And now some of the people who I heard from do live in San Francisco, but I got to hear a lot of white guilt about gentrification and talking about those issues that come up in the movie. But I didn't get to hear what any black man watching this movie and the way they decided to take you on the journey with this person and the people around him. I really want to know what you think. I just don't feel like that's actually really being discussed in this movie.
So what do you think I thought just by reviewing with me and listening to my commentary?
I feel like there are probably a couple of times where you looked at some of this and said, oh, is that how we doing people today? Is that how they still doing us? But that was some my visceral reaction, but I don't know, this is one of the movies where I truly could not clock how you or Chris might respond to this movie, which is why I really was begging y'all to go see it. And I know we did a terrible job of talking about it because we started talking about how we thought the mixed themes in the movie, that mileage was going to vary on the overall feel and experience of those. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't clock it, which is why I had to ask you to go see it, because I did not know.
Okay, so before I tell y'all what I thought, I'm going to give a quick synopsis of what the film is about. Essentially, I'm not going to really care about names, but the main character is Jimmy Fails. And essentially, Jimmy is really obsessed with this home that his family used to live in San Francisco. He pretty much is homeless. He is motherless. He is fatherless. He has a best friend for now, and he stays with him and pretty much spends most of his time with little like work hustle stuff, but kind of keeping the upkeep of this home that he used to live in that they lost. Him, he and his family, more specifically his father, lost some years ago, and the area has now been completely gentrified, and he's never going to get this house back from his financial position. And he kind of is obsessed with this house.
Millions.
Oh, 4 million. So yeah, it's pretty much just following the journey of him and this very eccentric friend that he has and their connections, their interaction. And then there's some very like Spike Lee-esque commentary in here with the way they show other characters who are exaggerated. And the camera focuses on them. They don't really do like the dolly shot stuff. I think they more use a skateboard to fill in for what Spike Lee would have used the dolly shot for, which I approve of much better than what Spike has been doing for the last 30 years overly. Ultimately, so this is how I felt about this film. Let's see. This is like one of the best films I've seen this year. Like this film completely pulled me in. Like the way it's shot, the grain of the film, the way they use the particular lenses that they chose to use for close-ups and side shots and stares, the characters that they developed, right? I don't feel like it was overkill. I felt like they were putting up a mirror and kind of showing this whole black male machismo masculinity bullshit that we do with each other, and not showing the fact that we are creatures who are full of a bunch of different emotions, but for taboo-ish reasons, we only display certain ones. And ultimately, watching a group of men cry, black men cry on screen, I thought it was very well shot. I thought the execution was beautiful. I thought it was significant in that more people of color, especially, like, I know they make these films. I know sometimes they make a lot of times they make black films for white people, right? Black stories, black actors, but these films are supposed to be giving messages to white people. Yes, black people can get something from it, but ultimately it is some type of white guilt people are supposed to feel after they privileged asses go and view it. And that's why you see those films getting like 100% ratings, 90% ratings, et cetera, et cetera. And then a black person will see it and they'll be like, well, this is pretty much a Tuesday type shit. Like, I ain't learned shit from this. You know, this is just my life. It's all right. It ain't amazing. I feel like Last Black Man in San Francisco is for white people in the whole gentrification sense. And it's for aware white people. But I think this film actually is for black people. I think the way it is shot, from the opening scene with the little girl and doing like the panning shot, it is for black people. The characters are for black people. There are characters in this that I've heard, and I will say niggas in this review, I've heard niggas refer to other niggas as awkward and shit like that. And I love that those characters in this film, Joe Talbot as a director, I thought did a great job. Jimmy Fails' portrayal of his character is great, but ultimately, the standout actor is, I think, is his name Montgomery Allen? Is that the guy that's like lined up to do like 3 more films this year?
After you're talking about his character. The character is character is Montgomery.
Okay, his name is Jonathan Majors. In real life,
his name is Jonathan Majors, and he's fantastic.
Jonathan Majors in this film is a performance that needs to be seen by anyone who loves movies. I'm just blown by what this nigga did on screen the whole movie. He is captivating. Brilliant. He is moving. The way he is able to just like encompass another character and like spit them back out in a believable fashion. So even when like he's kind of, I don't know if it was his intention, but he's kind of making fun of those characters, but they don't see it as being made fun of. They kind of see it as a paying respect to them in an awkward way. I'm blown that I did not do more research on this film, and I'm kind of sad that my friends can't see it because it's not in enough fucking theaters for them to go see it. I don't understand when you see this film how you don't automatically go, yeah, we need to make sure that this is in every art house, indie house film around the country, because this is the type of film
because it makes people uncomfortable.
I get it, but like the poster for it is perfect. The way it's shot is perfect for that style. Like if you were like, I love old films, this is the only other film that this reminds me of that I've seen recently with this style to it is The Old Man and the Gun. Like that shit makes me feel good to see that I can still see a film that I guess looks like it's shot like 35 millimeter or whatever. And this film,
can we talk about the one shot of him coming down the hill on the skateboard and that they don't do that shit no more?
It just is. The whole scene of them riding skateboards throughout this film together made me want to take my camera out and put the video mode on and start just capturing the city, because they do such a great job of capturing the city in this movie. And I like the way they told the story. I felt like Tashina Arnold has a small role in this. Mike Epps has a small role in this. Danny Glover has a small role in this. And there's nothing small about their performance of those roles. And the other groups of black men that they introduced, there's nothing small about their performances. The tragedy that they experienced with one of those characters, there's nothing small or uncomplicated about that character. Like, this is a film. When we're like, black people need to see that film. I know my dad kept telling me, When They See Us is a film that I needed to watch. And I was like, oh, a series that I needed to watch. And frankly, I don't need to watch it because I've been reading and watching stuff about what happened to those boys for years. And I'm good, because it makes me the vitriol I feel when I hear that story and how upset I get, because I know way more details about that shit than I should from listening to podcasts and watching documentaries way before Ava picked it up. Like, I knew once she got it, I wasn't going to be able to handle it. So I can't do it. This is a film
that's kind of comparable to the themes that he's doing in this movie from the perspective. I think that's the difference between it being a white eye behind the camera and a black eye behind the camera, because for me, I really liked The Last Man, Black Man in San Francisco, but I'm not on the whole, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen this year train. And I'll be honest about that. I felt like there was a disjointed nature between his messaging and his ability to maintain the continuity of that from the beginning of the film to the end. I did like a lot of the portrayals and the interest, but I really feel like, especially photo heads like you, y'all get really enraptured with how he opened this movie. And, you know, he's got this beautiful overvoice narrative as they kind of pan in through the city. And he's got some great hat tips and homages to not only the more bohemian nature of what the city used to be about, but the way that he does the voiceover talking about the change and, you know, our lives here ain't never been easy. And, you know, why are these people here? And we've always been here and all of those elements that they start forgiving in the middle of this movie when he doesn't have the appropriate vocabulary to talk about some of the themes. Like, this is Jimmy's story and Jimmy is his friend. And Jimmy does a serviceable job of being himself in this movie. But there are just moments where the story completely overwhelms everything else that's going on. And Montgomery did his shit. I mean, it's like everybody did their stuff. It's like, but the connection between them is friends and the shots that they had. The simple fact that I was reading things about this movie where they had to go figure out if two people could logically even ride on a skateboard the way that they did, and they went to talk to old skateheads and they're like, I don't know, man, you have to, and they had to get somebody to make them a board that would enable them to do this so they could do those things. Those were the elements that I thought really worked. And when he was taking those moments and having them go through the city and giving the mostly silent commentary on the changed nature of the city and their relationship to play to the backdrop of his complete obsession and attachment to this house. Mm-hmm. I thought all those notes played beautifully well. And then somewhere along the line, he lost his emotional thread. And I felt like things started to unravel a little towards the end of the movie. Now, on one level, I liked it because it speaks to the unresolved nature of not only his life and to the plight of homelessness and what we are doing, like with the complete and utter forgetfulness that commerce doesn't work if no one can even afford to secure their own home. And the way that people feel like we just like the abject subjugation of people to stereotypes and the feel that we need to stay there. So I really appreciated those moments, but I just felt like that, like there's one pivotal scene at the end where there's like the stage play that's going on. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that there's some seriously missed opportunities in there that he had foreshadowed and then failed to follow through with. So I was like, you have this disconnect between where you were taking me and where I ended up. Now, I absolutely believe that everybody needs to see this movie. I think it's got themes and it's got like pointed reminders and moments that people should talk about. And I'm 100% on board with you with the portrayal of grown men being friends amongst each other and, you know, gassing each other up. This movie looks at this in a way to where there's a direct correlation and connection between the way that men relate to each other and whether that can end up being something healthy or toxic without using any of the catch terms or buzzwords that turn people off of really talking about the consequences of your actions and your behavior. And I just really feel like there were other moments in there where he should have and could have, and that was the narrative he was telling, capitalized on. And I just don't know whether or not he had the cinematic vocabulary to do it. And I don't feel like it makes it a lesser movie. It just keeps it out of me saying it's the greatest thing I ever saw. But that's also because I did see When They See Us. And the direction of that story, I absolutely believe it's one that everybody needs to watch because she's not just playing into the facts that everybody knows. She's not just playing into the mythos and the mythology of a city and a people. And I felt like to a certain extent, The Last Black Man in San Francisco plays into the mythos and mythology of San Francisco. And it plays into reality versus remembered. And I really liked that. And he kind of let that fall out of the story. And that upset me. Whereas reality versus remembered, you know, pragmatism versus the practicalities of life are dead center and stays dead center in When They See Us in a way that you need somebody who not only is looking through it through the eye and isn't necessarily translating or interpreting things that they're being told from the person who had the experience versus someone who can to take what they're hearing and take what they're seeing and take what they read about an event and a city and a time period and be able to pull you in it and hold you all the way through. And he did an amazing job of what this film looks like. It's got some of the best shots that I've ever seen. It's got like this whole photo flip feel at certain parts of the movie that I think does more to talk about what we are doing to ourselves as people and the cities that we live in and the obstacles that we are putting between us and security and stability on many levels, that it doesn't continue to carry through in giving us Jimmy's story. And I think that's partially because Jimmy didn't know how to translate to be on the screen. He's not really an actor, but he was also outclassed by some of the people who are truly actors who were around him. Danny Glover's role may be small, but if you really want the nuanced understanding of when he's talking about the connection between them and being friends and what that means, that like you can't get better than the scene with them on the porch. So I that's why I said this movie for me, mileage may vary for the people who watch it, but I still think it's a movie people should see. And I actually appreciate that as a Black man, you watching this movie, the places where you connected to it, what you said made this one of the best movies you've seen all year doesn't match what anybody else has said about why this makes this one of the best movies all year. And I can respect that. Miss Joy.
Yeah, Joy.
Where is you at? You done got real quiet.
Yeah, I would agree with Ro. This film, when I saw it, it still wasn't my cup of tea, to be honest. I thought it was a bit too long, unnecessarily so. I thought that there was a bunch of great stylistic choices that kind of lacked the pull through on the substance piece. And I struggled with that a lot because when I walked out of it, me and my girlfriend, also a black girl, walked out of it. And we both were just like, eh, not for us. It gave me Atlanta, but in long form. And what I love about Atlanta, the show on FX, for those who are not familiar, and if you are, why are you living under a rock, is that it kind of goes into these kind of, there's a message behind the absurdity. You know what I mean? Like there's deliberate choices behind the absurdity, and sometimes it's just weird as fuck, which I appreciate. But I think when you do it in a long form version at 2 hours, sometimes it gets a little muddled in a way where I think they could have really drove home the story. So I struggled with Last Black Man because of that. I will say this, Jonathan Majors is on my list for Best Supporting Actor nomination, and I hope he does get that nomination, because I haven't seen a performance, a Best Supporting Performance by someone at this level. He's fantastic.
He's brilliant.
He's fan-fucking-tastic. And I walked out of there being like, you know what, not for me, but Jonathan Majors, let me tell you what I will be doing. I will be fighting everybody. We riot at dawn if this motherfucker does not get a nomination. He's fantastic. Him as Monty and the level and the friendship that they had, I was like, man, that's like, it's special. And I think I agree with you. Like him being as great as he is, because he's not the star of it, and you have someone who's not very experienced in acting as the star for this one, which I understand why they were chosen for the story that they're trying to tell, but I don't think it delivers in the way it wants to. I see overall what the team was trying to do, but I don't think it delivers in the way that they were anticipating personally for me.
I agree. I mean, because you just get stuck on aspects of what Jonathan Majors is doing on the screen, and the way that he is your objective observer for a significant amount of what's going on with the other people around. I mean, he was so compelling in the way that he was doing things and behaving that this man, I was like, well, maybe I do need to go see Captain State and White Boy Rick. I mean, he was in it. Maybe I need to go see them. And I have had no desire to see either one of those daggum movies.
That's not happening.
But Jonathan Majors was so compelling.
Can I just say that?
I didn't say I did it.
Sorry. I was going to say, can I say, I got to interview Yahya Abdul-Mateen II during Aquaman press. And I brought up to him this common throughway of people who are black Yaleans, like people who are black and went to Yale for drama school. And he was talking about how like Winston Duke helped him move in. He knew Brian Tyree Henry was there. And he brought up the guy you should be looking out for is Jonathan Majors, because he is fantastic. And I kept that in the back of my head. So when I saw him on screen, I was like, oh, this is a Jonathan Majors that Yahya was talking about, who also went to Yale School of Drama with Brian Tyree Henry and him and Winston Duke and all these other dudes. And he, I knew coming in, like, wow, okay, I feel like he might give me something. He gave me everything in that performance. And so
he left everything there for everybody to have. If there is something about what he is doing on the screen to give you appreciation, he is also a living testament to anybody who tells you that you don't need to go to college. You can tell him to shut the hell up and you go do your thing.
No, my man studied a couple of places. Like these guys put in work. You know what I find interesting?
Yeah,
like,
man.
Y'all both are not saying like stuck, but y'all kind of not even pushing on really, but y'all both talk about the fact that it goes from the story of the lead to kind of Jonathan just outshining him. And I had a moment of that thought. And then I was thinking, I feel like the title of this film is one, extremely broad, and two, completely misleading. Like, for the story to have started off with this focus on Jimmy, it's, to me, when I more started thinking about it, I was like, it's not totally focused on him, no, because Jimmy doesn't have a lot going on with him. He's, you know, living his truth, however it is in this film. I don't want to spoil the film. So he's living his quote unquote truth in what he's doing, but his motivations and his desires aren't real. And the film I thought the film made it look realer with the way it's shot and stuff than anything else. And the conversation about gentrification, I think is a separate subject entirely from what else is happening in this film that I thought was a more solid and pertinent conversation that would pull me in and care about me. So in that sense, when I made it to the end of the film, I was going, this film isn't even about Jimmy though. Like, this film is about Jonathan. It's about Monty. Montgomery. And the way it ends with his character, the way it kind of it falsely portrays that this film is supposed to be about this, like, it starts off being about this gentrification and about this Jimmy Fails character, and they show you his father, who, you know, the casting for that I thought was perfect, and I thought they did some kind of callback to Blaxploitation with that, with his film, with his character, which I thought was kind of dope and stuff. And then the more that Monty's character, which has a strong presence opening in, slowly just overshadows everything else that you were watching in this film, and brought me more back to conversations I used to have with people. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I thought that Monty's character was, for me anyway, was the last black man in San Francisco. And there are all of these moments where mm-hmm. they kind of make you question his intelligence level, but they clearly show you that he is on a different scale, and maybe you would diagnose him as this, and the way he interacts with people and how he sees them, his vision of the world, and how he sees the elements of San Francisco that he cares about that speak to him, right? Those were the moments that made the film beautiful for me. The stuff about gentrification and that conversation and how they basically kind of drop the ball on that, and you get to the play at the end. Yeah, I'm like, you could have had a different conversation about this. You could have presented this a different way, and you know, like, you could have.
Oh, that's not what I mean. Like, that's not what I mean. This movie has always been Montgomery Allen's movie for me. So, what I meant were doing certain buildup and connections they were giving him to people in the movie that I felt like they left too unresolved for where they had him end up and what they did with Jimmy in the story.
See,
that's what I mean.
I felt, see, for that, for me, when I saw that, that to me was more realistic than what I guess they could have shown, what buildup could have possibly happened for him, because this is his reality as an awkward black man. And the connections that he builds with people, he's never going to fully understand them. And then the complications of being a black man in this type of environment with these type of people around, and he's a genius. As far as I'm concerned, that character Monty is a genius, but he is, you know, his genius levels will never help him on a social level. And I think his father understands that to a degree, but also, like, literally you're dealing with a blind man. It was a lot going on with his character that made this film so good because of the portrayal of it, and how I've had friends that I could see that I saw his character in them. And I was just like, yo, I remember those dudes. I remember how we treated those dudes. I remember how we talked. I remember when adults used to ask me about characters like him, like, what's wrong with him, or what's up with him, or what's up with their relationship? Are those guys gays? Is this too intimate? Is this too this? Like, what it is to be a black male friend, what it is to be in a group of friends as a black male, the rules and shit you have to follow, and how draining it is not to be able to be yourself. And I thought this was one of the only films that I've seen where they actually had two black men who were comfortable in being themselves, despite other people around them being toxic towards them and being negative towards them. And then actually breaking down that wall later on and being like, nigga, you just like us. All that fronting and bullshitting you doing and acting like you this and you that and you ain't got feelings and you ain't got this because of your manhood, that's bullshit. Real manhood, nigga, is being able to live and be yourself. And treating people differently because you don't understand them or whatnot. Things,
yeah, but that's why my problem isn't with the first act or the third act. It's with the second act. And that goes back to where Joy was saying that it felt there were certain things that were needlessly wrong. And I just felt like that came back down to editing choices and story focus choices. And I felt like there were moments where they could have leveraged what was going on around Montgomery a little better and kind of held on to the the duality of the story between Jimmy and Montgomery a little better. Those are the things that got me and pulled me out of the story. And once I start getting pulled out of a story in a particular kind of way, it takes it off that from saying this is the best we've ever seen all year. But all the things that you're saying are exactly why I'm like, every single Black person, especially every Black man that I know, needs to go see this movie, because it's talking about relationships. And it's one of the first movies of this year and one of the few movies at all that has the primary dominant relationship that's not an intimate relationship, that goes through all this rigmarole, be between two men, and not just two men, but two Black men. Because they don't do that. We don't tell that story. And if they do, they always have to have there being some kind of jacked up nature of things. And this story isn't told through trauma. And I thought that was also a really good element of it. But that's why my problems are in the second act. I have editing issues with this movie, I guess, is a good way to put it. I don't know. Does that make sense?
No, I get it. I just, at that point in the film, I was learning so much more about Monty's character. And I felt like in the middle of the film is where like Jonathan shines the most in subtlety. I feel like the breakout performance, mm-hmm. the one that captivates, is clearly for me the third act. But I felt like the moments where he built this character, he made you question your perception of people like this. Like, it reminded me of a time where me and my dad watched, was it 16 Blocks? And he asked me what was wrong with Mos Def's character. Like, what's wrong with that guy? And I was like, everybody's different. Like, that's, he's just different. Because I remembered being around guys like that in school, and you know, we did make fun of them, and we did talk about them, and we did alienate them. And then as I got older, the whole taboo shit became corny. And then having like, so now, you know, working better to like understand a person and where they're coming from, to see a film like this, because we don't see enough films like this, and we don't have enough conversations like this openly about Black men and their relationships. We just started having comfortable conversations about Black fathers being able to hug their sons and kiss their sons and let their sons cry on their shoulders. Like, you know, those, we're just starting to embrace that. So to see a film like this where the
there were elements where we were talking about shame and how he was interacting with other people in there that I thought were essential to Montgomery and how he related to the world, particularly given what he did for a living, so to speak, mm-hmm. particularly his brand of creativeness and how it was expressed, that I really feel like there were some missed opportunities for them to give us there. And they had everything there for it. And that's where I come back to feeling like the person who's behind the camera doesn't have the appropriate vocabulary to translate what he's seeing in a way that it maintains the connectivity of what he's promised. And I get it. You know, Montgomery has disjointed ways that he views things and what he clicks into as being important and worth following through on. There were just some elements there were some beautiful buildup, and I just didn't get it. And I was like, well, damn, a little disappointed there. But then they would go somewhere else with the story, and I'm like, this is fantastic. And then some of the overarching reaching moments that kind of gave you these little moments of amusement about kind of like when Jimmy was at the bus stop and that dude just rolled up on him. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, and I really felt like, given what they were doing with Jimmy's story and given what they were doing with his connection to Montgomery, that he owed it to Jimmy to not let some of those moments go by, because they impacted how he related to Montgomery in other moments and how he related to his family and the relationship he had with this house and the relationship that Montgomery developed with this house and the relationship that they had in this house. So when you put all those different things together and I'm like, I see that you have this. I just felt like you didn't necessarily have certain elements of the vocabulary necessary to translate what was being told to you, because it's not your experience. But this is one of the few times where I wasn't completely pulled out of things or distracted and saying, well, this is the kind of movie that needed to be directed by a Black person.
Because
I thought that was brilliantly well done.
That was actually Jimmy Fail's experience, though, mm-hmm. right? Like, this story is based on his life.
Yeah, this story is Jimmy.
Yeah. So, I mean, like,
that's what I'm saying. It's
that
like,
were missed. Like,
there were certain elements where I felt like it was a director's interpretation of a thing versus other elements where I felt completely immersed in what was happening and these development and these developing relationships and these characters and what was going on versus him as the observer, letting us see and experience what's happening in front of us. And that's where I felt like there's a couple of times where he leaned a little heavy on Jonathan.
I mean, and he didn't push Jimmy. I mean to say, like, Jimmy Fails, the actor, like, that's his story, and he was there, and they worked on this project together. So,
yes,
the elements, the stuff that were missed, I'm like, if, like, Jimmy had creative control in that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just through the director's eyes. They worked on this. This was a project they worked on for a while together.
Well, it felt like a translation problem. It didn't feel like a lack in a script. It felt like a translation problem, and that is the director.
It may be that when Jimmy looked at it
and he's like, yeah, I know this works, this hits, that's what I was feeling. And it could simply be that there's that actual disconnect, and my visceral reaction to that is appropriate for me as an observer to something I'm not experiencing. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that it was noticeable enough to pull me out and make me go, what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
No. I'm saying everybody's interpretation is different. Yeah. No, everybody's interpretation is different, which is what makes the conversation interesting about it. Because, like, the way that y'all are talking about it, I was sitting watching this movie and I was waiting for the moment where I would be like, oh, that's what they were talking about. And it never came. And I was like, what the fuck did I miss? Like, what?
That's why I wanted a black dude to watch this movie. I did not feel that a black man watching this movie was going to have the same reaction as a black woman, was going to have the same reaction of anybody of any other color. This movie is for black men. First and foremost, this is a story that I feel is geared and talking to black men in a way that a lot of films don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wanted y'all to see it. But I
would agree with Ro. I agree with you, Ro, because when we saw it at Sundance, it was me, my mm-hmm. girlfriend, black woman, another black woman, and our friend Trey, who's a black guy. And all three of us talked about it. And me and my girlfriend were like, nah, it wasn't our cup of tea. And he was like, I really enjoyed it. And I was like, I guess, okay. So. Oh, like, great.
Yeah.
But, Which is kind of what I was picking up from the way that y'all are describing the way y'all felt.
We were trying not to spoil, and there's really no way to explain why we wanted you to see this movie without spoiling, at least at the time that I was trying to tell it to you. Maybe it was the wine.
That's fine, and I understand. That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, is it because I'm a black man that I'm not... that I don't see that I just did not see what they saw in certain elements.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm guessing, like, that's what it has to be, right? Because I'm just like, I watched this film and there weren't any pieces that missed. It straightforward made sense. Every part of it was straightforward for me. There wasn't anything that I was looking for.
I wanted to know, in all honesty. That's what I wanted to know, because that's what I felt like.
But now I go back like and watch it. Like, I'm not to getting what y'all this. Saw. Like, now I'm like, damn, I want to see it now and see how they saw it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, please take your other black friends if they live in the DMV area at that indie place, because I think that is what I netted out on after hearing your review for it, Brandon, is that I do think that there are certain just elements that I didn't get from it, that Ro didn't get from it, that you did because your nuanced experience as a black man. So I do think more people should see mm-hmm. it. And while it wasn't my cup of tea, does not make it a good film. And it also doesn't mean that it didn't have solid performances, which it had both. There was just a certain amount, there was a certain kind of element to it that just was not connecting with me.
Yeah.
And it might be because of my experience.
I think that's what makes y'all's reviews interesting. Like, because you all haven't bashed the film as not being a good film, or that the performance is not being good performances.
Oh, no.
There's this significant amount of praise coming from y'all. And then there's this whole, there's a little bit of, yeah, but I ultimately didn't get what I was looking for while I was watching it, that it kind of set up for me to get. And I'm on the other side listening, like, I feel like we watched different acts, but still saw the same film. Like, it's weird. Or watched it, like, y'all watched it from the left side of the screen and I watched it from the right side of the screen, and that somehow impacted our perception or our opinions on the film as a whole, right? But really, it's just that it's black men watching it and you might have a different feel for it because of that versus black women watching it. And it isn't a film geared towards black women. It absolutely isn't. Because the one thing that I appreciated that it didn't have in it was a black woman or some type of like sexual interest stepping in at some point to throw off a relationship between guys. It's always like a cheap way for them to get to that, to create some type of turmoil between friends or to break friends apart or to further break a person down by bringing in a romantic something, like disheveled romance.
Right? Yeah, and me and Ro just talked about this offline. Continue, Ro, sorry.
No.
Me and Ro just had this conversation briefly offline. We were waiting for you in between reviews. I recently saw Brittany Runs a Marathon, which is another film that premiered at Sundance that's coming out in August or something like that. And essentially about a plus-size woman, white woman, who goes and, you know, is trying to better her life. So she's trying to lose weight and run a marathon. And I was like, I'm going to see it because I didn't see it at Sundance. And I didn't expect to get emotionally invested the way I was because her story was so tied into my story, not obviously being a plus-size white woman, but being a plus-size black woman and going and exercising recently for the last 4 weeks and trying to lose weight and all the different emotional turmoil that go through that. So I can understand seeing yourself in a story and recognizing people that look like you or your homies that you grew up with in a story, and it emotionally impacts you in a way that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, because I had completely divorced myself from, I said, I'm not seeing Brittany Runs a Marathon because I'm really tired of people acting like being better and getting your life the better has to do with your weight and like, and all these things that are tied to your weight. And I was like, I don't want to know. But after hearing Joe talk about it, Joy, why am I changing your name? After hearing you talk about it, I now have a renewed interest in looking at it because I feel like maybe it's coming from a different perspective with the story. And that's really what I felt like and liked about this story. Like, I didn't feel like the elements that had to do with gentrification needed to be any more overt than they were in the movie. I thought more of the silent panning shots and the people who he featured from the neighborhoods that he went to and the interactions that he had them have. Man, that did better than anything else to talk about gentrification and theft.
Oh my God! First of all, the rendition of San Francisco with the past, like the pastor on the little wind stoop, and he is belting, and they had the beautiful shot. Yeah. Oh my God, gorgeous!
Yeah,
yeah, that was my misinterpretation.
So all of those elements I felt were right. I just didn't. I was just like, I'm like, he's not talking to me, and it lets my attention go and look at something else that's happening on the screen. And I wonder, because I think this movie is talking more to black men than anything else.
No, they literally are characters yelling at black men in this film. Like, it's
what a black man thinks.
It is definitely heavy-handed how they're yelling at black men as black men in this film. And that is shit you experience. I remember walking past niggas and having to deal with that type of just toxicity, man. And like, what am I supposed to do? Like, how am I supposed to react? Like, what am I supposed to do? And then you look at the way Monty acts, and there's that conversation between him and Jimmy Fails, and he's like, because this person acts a particular way, I should not see the beauty in him. And I was like, like, it's so like, he, in that one sentence, he explains how complicated and things get. Why niggas can be friends one day and fight the next day. Literally. Fist throwing, fighting,
but I also and 5 minutes the fact later be that- cool. That they left it as him just being offbeat and quirky. They didn't try to define him as anything being on the spectrum or any of that shit. But also don't like how when we have these characters, we always have to try to make them some aspect of the magical Negro.
I actually like that they don't label or define him because that, to me, that shouldn't
matter. That's what
I'm saying. Yeah. That I liked it. I like that shouldn't matter. And I think people harp on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. I think people harp on that way too much, especially in our community. Like, the whole what's wrong with him.
But we also make it to where there has to be something wrong for somebody not to fit into a box that we accept. And that's one of the things that I really liked about this movie on multiple levels. Especially, and this is where I kind of lean back into talking about Jimmy's story, because, you know, he lived with a friend. He didn't have a home. He had a nostalgic and obsessive connection to an old home. he had a story that was built up and connected to that home that was the driving force that he used for positivity in his life in particular ways, that he used to drown out a truth that he didn't want to deal with. And part of that truth had to do with the fact he was homeless.
Yeah.
But this is a man who got up every single day, took care of himself, and he had a job. And I like the fact that they didn't feel like they needed to drive through any of those stereotypical doors that we go through when talking about Black people who don't necessarily, who live with somebody else. You know what I mean? They didn't make it a negative relationship. Like, he wasn't digging through somebody's stuff, and they didn't make it about him having a drug habit. And when they'd exposed you to what was going on with his family and his parents, that was some uncomfortable shit that kind of sent me flashbacks, not with my immediate family. But I have seen that play out with extended family members.
That shit was hard.
Friends, parents.
Yeah. I would like the whole scene with his mother was just too real. I was like, yo, like, people don't understand that there are people who deal with things like this. Like, when you complain about how your mom didn't sometimes gets on your nerves, I'm thinking of niggas who are in situations like this where their mom see them and be like, oh, hey, hi. Like, bruh.
Hey, you in a minute. Fuck?
I don't even understand that. I don't understand that conversation or relationship, but that's a whole nother thing. I just like the fact that this film explored that or presented it. Not even explored it, just presented it.
But those were the elements that really, those were the elements that I really appreciated and really enjoyed. And they kind of showcased some of the things that were going on behind Jimmy's face to where there were other elements. I was like, well, he just let you phone that in. That's not fair. I know you do. I can know you do better. I watched you do better the last time he was on the damn bus. So that's where I kind of started to fall out. And I was like, well, he's not talking to me. This movie is not talking to me. I'm enjoying it. I think it's beautifully shot. I think it's got some of the best decision-making for long shots.
Yeah. Right? No. Yeah.
That I've seen in a while. I like the CinemaScope they put it in. I appreciated the color palette that they went with because it had a genuineness and an authenticity to it that kind of aged as the movie progressed and changed as they went to different neighborhoods in the city. I think people need to see this movie. I just recognize and acknowledge that I was watching a movie and enjoying a movie and getting messages and learning things from a movie that wasn't talking to me, but also wasn't pandering to men. And I think that's why I was just so hung up. I said, I want to know what a Black man thinks, because I really feel like this movie is talking to Black people, but I don't feel like it's pandering and I don't feel like it gave into stereotypes. But as a Black female, I can't say whether or not that's a stereotype of and doesn't go into a place of truth. I need a Black man to tell me.
Yeah.
No Black man. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah. No. Thank y'all for telling me, for pushing for one of us to go see this, because this absolutely was my film. And I can't wait till they send us a screener copy of this so I can watch it again. I really don't want to do a rating system, because this was just a discussion to go back on, and I'm not sure where this is headed. I'm not sure if this is headed to the regular site, or I'm sure this is going to be premium content, but honestly I also think it should be on a regular feed, because I feel like this is a discussion that specifically
content. We didn't spoil.
I think that for the conversation and for our demographic and our audience, I think that a lot of people need to hear this so they go find this movie and watch it if they can. I tried to get Twan from ours. I was like, bro, go see this. And he can't. It's not in Virginia. Like, it's not in Virginia. It's in, like, it's and in Charlottesville.
This is A24, right?
Yes.
I'm going to give the same spiel. Y'all, stop buying these films at Sundance if you're not going to give it the proper distribution. Like, there are more markets.
Or stop assuming you know which damn markets you need to be in, because, like, the simple fact that this movie is in San Diego shocked me, because we didn't get Fast Color, and I was like, so you think you know? They dead ass were like, we don't know how to market this movie, and they did Fast Color so tight and so slow and so quick that even if you wanted to travel to, you couldn't get to it. I was shocked when I found out that this movie was getting a full opening in San Diego, and it's not quote unquote playing on the Black side of town. It's at the Art House Theater that's in the middle of everywhere, and people should go. But you know what I mean? But they think they know their demographic and they're wrong. And I don't know how to make them stop. So
I don't know what they're doing.
You fix it.
I know this is the answer.
They're not paying me to fix it. But also, this is a film where they're not. But this is a film that I also do feel as though, like, yeah, while I hear you, like, it is at the Art House, not in the Black side of town, I also do think that this is a film that's been weirdly marketed as an indie art house film, and that is what it is, but doesn't lean into a lot of the Black intimacy pieces that I think it should be. This shit should absolutely be playing at Magic Johnson Theater, in my opinion. So, like, I need you to do better.
I don't know who y'all went to talk to when you were trying to figure out which, I mean, ironically enough, it's playing at an AMC out here. Huh. What do you know? But they've already reduced the screenings that you could go for it. And I just really feel like, yeah, it's still in one theater. It's only still playing in one theater and limited afternoon runs out here. But I just really feel like I feel like it's the Oprah problem. Like, Oprah wants to do a movie. She wants to talk about a serious subject. People look at it and go, oh, no. Or other people look at it and say, oh, a movie called The Last Black Man in San Francisco directed by a white dude. I'm good. And they didn't really try to, I mean, the first trailer that came out was brilliant. And then they didn't try to really do anything to capitalize on that beyond that when talking about this story. And this is an absolutely beautiful story about love, about family, about loss, but mostly about relationships and friendships, communication and connection. And at some point in time, it's like they just gave up, or they just thought that we don't care about those things.
I don't know. They wide
released. The only person dies off screen. I don't know.
They wide released Stuber, and they felt like they couldn't wide release this. Like, put your money where your mouth is if you're really about that life. So, all right, y'all.
Stuber's not an A24, is it?
No. I'm just saying it. I'm saying if A24 is about buying up these properties, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, it's Fox/Disney now.
Yeah. All right, y'all. This has been a movie trailer review of Last Black Man in San Francisco with Joy and Ro, joined by me. And yeah, guys, go see this. Like, if you can find it, go see this shit, take your boys, and then have a conversation afterwards, reflect on your life and all of the bad things you did and the things you're trying to be better for now. Like, seriously, because this film might take this as a black man. It definitely took me somewhere, to some places that I've grown from significantly since. But I needed to see that shit on screen. I really needed to reflect on that shit. So, yeah. All right. Well, I'll let y'all next time. Check out the site. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And if you're not on premium, go ahead and sign up for the premium. And make sure you also subscribe to Where's My 40 Acres podcast, because that's where I do my ratchet shit. That's where I revert back to old times and shenanigans. So, we'll holler at y'all next time. Peace.